A reading from Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 to 14. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that his testimony to me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. Not that I accept such human testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But I have a testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father has given me to complete, the very works that I am doing, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified on my behalf. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you, because you do not believe in him whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the one who alone is God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the words of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. I'm stood in a completely empty church building, and I can hear all the sounds of life around me still, even though we're supposed to be quieter, calmer in our homes. Someone is cutting the grass because the world is still turning. Spring is still happening. The buds on the trees and the grass is growing. The birds are coming to build their nests. I can hear some traffic, but it's not a lot. Certainly not as much as you can usually hear on a Thursday morning. But what I can't hear are your voices. I can't hear Willie in the kitchen making sure that the cups are out, the coffee and the tea and the sugar. I can't hear people talking to Andy I can't hear the doors between the two parts of the church opening and shutting. I can't hear just the chitter chatter of people in this building. And it's very strange to stand here without all of that. In a building that's usually so full of life in many ways, and now seems to have stopped still. There's a profound stillness in this place now. We have talked many times about finding the stillness of God, the still small voice of Him in the midst of our busy lives. And often when we have gathered in church on Thursdays and Sundays and at other times, it's been a reminder to us that life stops when we come to worship and we focus more definitely on God, the one true God. The building is really important for many, many reasons. For one, I'm standing in it because this is the way we record our services or our sermons for the website so that other people can access them. If we didn't have the building to do that, if I didn't have the microphone, the technology, then we wouldn't be able to do that. But, and I have wondered about this for many, many years, and many of you know this, even before I was selected for ordination, my call most definitely was for the church to turn itself inside out. So that actually we weren't people gathering in buildings, we were people being sent out. That for the last 20 years has been my call and my prayer actually, that people would recognize that in a way the building is a bit of a golden calf. That golden calf that we hear about in the Exodus reading. It's natural for us, like the Israelites, to turn to golden calves, to turn to things that give us comfort and hope. And the building does all of that because it is a place that we have set aside as being sacred. It is consecrated. And within it, within its walls, are images and symbols that speak of our faith to us. There are crosses. There's an altar. Or maybe there's two or three in some churches. We actually do have two. We have the main altar and the side altar in the Lady Chapel. We have candles. And I've lit the candles this morning as I'm speaking because this is an offering to God as much as it is to all of you. We have pictures. We have stained glass windows. We in our church have a statue of Mary holding baby Jesus. And yet, now we cannot gather here. And now we are forced to be sent out into our communities to live a different rhythm of life. Perhaps now we can see that the building is just a very, very, very tiny part of what our faith has to be. We are now all living in the strangest of times, in times of fear and unexpected nature. And the things that we thought were important to us are perhaps not looking quite as important as they were. I wonder how you are praying at this time. I wonder where you are finding the signs and symbols of God at work in the world. I wonder how internally or externally you are going to find that hope in God that we are given through Jesus Christ. The church is not a building. It never, ever was. It was always about people, and it was always about Jesus being with people wherever they are, whatever is going on in their lives. But we are human beings, and as Jesus alludes to the Pharisees and the scribes, we will still always look for signs and wonders. But sometimes we miss what's in front of us. Jesus was standing, teaching, he was healing, and he was turning the world upside down. But they'd rather believe in John the Baptist, who was just human, rather than human and divine. They couldn't see the real light of the world that was standing in front of them because their eyes were focused on the golden calf, in inverted commas. Their eyes were focused on the things they thought were important, the law, the traditions, the things in the temple that people came to worship. And yet, Jesus stands in front of them, and they cannot recognize him. He says to them, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." How do we go to Christ for life? What are we doing at this point in our lives, in this extraordinary time in the history of the world, not just in our own country? In a time that is affecting our family and our friends, whether they be in this country, across Europe, across and around the world, what are we doing in this time and in the days that have been given to us to open our eyes to the light that stands before you? For Jesus is with you wherever you go. He is not to be found in a building. He is to be found sitting next to you, across the table from you, breaking bread. He is to be found in the games you might be playing with your family now, in the way you're soaking up the sunshine. And he is to be found in the fear. He is to be found in the uncertainty. He is to be found in all the troubles of trying to work out how you work from home as well as look after your children. He is to be found in how you work out if you're a key worker, how you go and you go into our hospitals and our hospices and you protect your own family. He is to be found in the uncertainty of our children's lives and in all the worry and the desperation. And he is to be found in the places where people are dying and in the places where people are grieving. He is to be found at the heart of all of life as well as death. We can search the scriptures and we should be searching the scriptures. We should be reading our scriptures because they will give us comfort and hope that God Almighty has everything in his hands. The story of Exodus is about a people who have been driven into slavery, treated abominably, and have then escaped out of Egypt into the wilderness. Just because they believed in God and believed that he would save them didn't mean they went into the height of luxury. They went into the wilderness for 40 years, not a few weeks, for 40 years. And yet, they ultimately triumphed because they trusted in the God who they knew to give them life. We now need, in our exile from the buildings and from the places and the people that we love and give us comfort, need to trust in the life that Jesus brings us, the water of life gushing up that will never stop, the bread of life that is constantly broken for us, and the light of life that will constantly shine wherever we are and whatever we are doing. We are constantly praying for all of you, for this whole community, for our country and our world. And as we do so, we pray in hope and in trust to the one true living God who came to redeem us and gives us life. Yesterday was the Annunciation, the day that we mark in the church's calendar where we remember the visitation of Angel Gabriel to Mary, to tell her that she is about to be the mother of the Son of God. And her whole life is turned upside down. She's shocked, probably numb with that shock, unable to process it for many weeks, I would have thought. And yet, the words of the angel are, "Do not be afraid." And so, trusting as Mary did, even though she didn't know what the journey was going to be, and that journey wouldn't be easy, it would take her to places of sorrow and pain, and trusting as the Israelites did, we trust today in the hope and expectation of better things to come, of life in all its fullness here and now today, but life in all its fullness after death and in the whole of eternity, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Father testifies to him and he testifies to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. So may the God of all life, the God who redeems each and every single one of you by name, be with you wherever you are today and give you his peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of you and upon all whom you pray for and all whom you love. Amen.